detention. We had detention, we had lunch detention, we had Saturday school, we had pickup trash. One time I had to spend the afternoon, I was a good kid, by the way. I graduated at 16. I just want to throw that out. But one time I said something that was rude and I had to go pick up trash. There was lots of different ideas. I'm not saying I have their full plan for you. I did not take the time. If you want me to write one out, I'd be more than happy to.
Okay, I'm going to cool this to a stop, but I think what we will take a look at it. Okay, so we will discuss it and come to some decision. Does that sound okay?
So what is our voting? What are
there's,
we voting
there's
on?
There's no action unless unless you are trying to make a change, right?
Oh, okay.
Well, I think it needs to be cleaned up. Can I make a motion that we look at revising the behavioral referral policy and practices?
You can.
Okay. I move that we revise the behavioral referral policy and practices in the parent handbook.
Okay. I need clarification. Yeah. You just said look at or revise?
Revise
or clean up or
yeah,
clear the wording up or what? What are you looking for?
I think it should be revised. Personally, my personal opinion. I think if progress reports are something that we're going to start getting blue slips for and up to referrals, that needs to be included in the handbook. Parents are supposed to sign the handbook, so they should acknowledge that at the beginning of the year. I think all students should be able to make up one referral, be it a trimester, a year, one referral. I'm a parent of that kid who, every once in a while, makes a mistake. And if he was penalized for it for the whole trimester, he'd be crushed. He would. I have also had other parents reach out to me whose child got a referral, who were good kids, who...
Okay, are we talking referrals or blue slip, the warning?
This is referral.
So you're saying to make up a referral so that they could go on to
yes,
marriage?
Yes, one time.
Then they could... Motion. Do we have a second?
I'm trying to understand what we're trying to revise. If we're revising our whole...
Well, I'm not even sure, Nikki, or Robin, that we need a motion tonight. We can discuss this in closed session.
No, we can't. It's not a closed
session.
Session. Yeah.
So just to clarify, if you're going, what you're not necessarily revising, what you're doing is asking us to go back to the drawing board, look at that policy, see if there's any tweaks that need to be made, and then bring it back to you again for approval. In the meantime, it sits as it is. So that's,
right,
I think,
right,
what Robin's saying.
Yes.
Is that look at the language in the handbook,
okay,
to see if there's any tweaks. Because, you know, just to go back to one thing Ms. Leonard said, is that you know, can we take, it's like a homework assignment, not returning their progress report. Well, I guarantee you if we drop a kid's grade because they didn't return their progress report, we're going to have a different parent standing here saying, why isn't that a blue slip, right? Because that's the problem that we run into is people look at it from the standpoint of what their general effect is, and everybody's affected differently based on
right,
their children.
And
but
I
what
we get just as many complaints that we weren't notified that my kids' grades, even though they have access to Aries, they have access to, you know, so that was one of the things that years ago when we put that in place and they started sending out multiple progress reports was trying to keep families in the loop. Not everybody does get on their grades every day. Yes, there are some proactive parents, they check their kids' grades each night. There's others that do not. So,
and I do think
catch 22.
Right.
You have one set mad and you have the other set that's satisfied, or you have the other set that's mad and you have the other set that's satisfied. It's a very fine line when you go in there. And it is difficult to navigate.
I know we need to move on, but I will say that I believe that I totally agree with what Lorraine said about there are parents out there that just don't follow through with their kids. But I have total trust in our teaching staff that they know who those kids are. They know that we're not going to give a blue slip to that kid because that parent won't sign it. They're going to call the parent and say, did you see it? Or they're going to ask for an email. I don't believe that any of our staff would say, well, I don't care that your parents have, you know, We're going to give you a blue slip anyways. So, but I do think that it is worthy of further discussion, because it, you know, I mean.
That's what I'm asking for, is can we?
Especially before that next handbook goes out, that maybe the language is cleared up to be.
We'll definitely, well, depending, whether you approve it or not, we're going to look at the handbook again, and we're going to involve our staff in looking at that handbook. Because there are some tweaks, I think, that need to be made. But and I know Lorraine's not asking for this, but we're not going to say there's no discipline, we're just going to run in chaos, right? So we just have to be clear of what it is that is. And as my witness right here, we will put something, if we put something in there, something that will happen is not in there.
For sure.
You're going to hear from a parent that says, you can't give my kid a slip for that because it's not listed here.
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure.
And my other input here is, having gone through the discussions for 28 years, I think that it has been the teachers at Bear River that make the plans, that decide. It's just like, I didn't know that chewing gum was a bigger problem because they were wearing masks. That makes sense. So each year, something happens. And I think it's the staff that has to issue those. It's the staff that realizes what they need. And I don't think it's the board that can make that decision. I think it needs to be the staff
writes the process. The board approves.
Which is why I threw Robin under the bus, because I wanted to know what the staff thought.
I just have one comment, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Is when we're talking about maybe giving them back, you know, a one-time free pass, basically, and then I see a mom come up here that says, my child was bullied, so that bully is now going to get a free pass. Oh, I bullied your child, and I'm going to still get to go on the merit trip.
Yeah, there's no permanent circumstances.
Exactly.
That's right. Consequences. And stuff that's egregious. If someone's so egregious that they get a referral and there's no free blue slips, right? They get an automatic referral. That means it's egregious, correct? And then you can verbalize in that an egregious referral that has been given without warnings would not merit a take back, right? But if they've gotten free blue slips and they've gotten a referral for chewing gum or the rest of the things, those are the ones that we've got.
I think that we know our direction. You can do your if you want to, but we know our direction. So we will sit down as a team, including our staff, and we will look at what it says now, and then we'll bring it back to you, if not before, at least by the next parent handbook.
So you're saying no motion?
Well, it's up to you.
I'm going to approve the handbook.
I can't tell you. The handbook will be approved again next year, and at that point. But I don't need a motion. I mean, you can give me one, but I don't need a motion to know what you're directing us to do.
Well, if we want it on record, I've made the motion.
Yeah, so somebody would have to second it.
I will second that we do what we've discussed.
What was the motion again?
That staff looks at the policy in the handbook, and doesn't mean it's going to change, but we're going to look at it and see if there's changes that need to be made.
Or clean up the language in the handbook.
Or clean up the language, right.
So we have a first and a second.
Mm-hmm. So take next vote.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Those opposed? Yes. Did you do the vote?
I did.
Okay, it's passed. We will take a look at the handbook. 5.14, District of Choice Resolution.
Okay, so this is a little controversial, so if Ange reaches up and slaps me, let me know. But we are in a situation right now where we have a new superintendent in Marysville who is deciding that they are no longer going to honor inter-district transfers to come to us, even though they have no room at the inn. And that's not just us. They're to go anywhere, right? And so if a child has already come into our system and they are an inter-district transfer, let's say they live, you know, on the outskirts of Wheatland, but right there in Marysville. They can stay with us through eighth grade, but then they have to go back to the, they can't go to Wheatland High, they have to go there. So they can come TK through eighth grade with all their friends here, and then in eighth grade, they're not going to accept them back. And what they're going to do to us is stop any inter-district transfers at TKK level. Or a child that moves in is in second grade, and they don't want to go, there's no room at, what's that school over there?
Johnson Park.
No, no. Edgewater. Thank you. So Edgewater is completely full. So we get a lot of those kids, and a lot of them too are military connected. The military connected, they can't do anything about it. We take those kids. So district of choice allows us to take up to, and the number's in there, 25 kids per grade level without their approval. The bad side of it is that you cannot weed out the ones that are
on track for expulsion.
You don't get to put in leaders.
Yeah, that's
to bring them in. But you do get to. You can release them if they do not follow the rules. If they get
that's questionable.
I checked with the attorney.
Are you sure?
Yes. As I mean, if they were, we're not going to release them if they get three blue slips, not to bring up a sore subject. Right? But if they got suspended three or four times, then we can send them back. But if we don't have, I don't know, I mean, we've applied for it, and this is a resolution for the board to approve it. I don't know that we're going to enact it, because I don't know that they're actually going to push through. But
so
we're trying to get ourselves in line to make sure that we don't lose students. If we lose students, then what does that mean? We lose funding, we lose teachers, we lose blah, 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 blah. So this is a way to counteract that.
We don't have to take up to 25.
No.
Can't take it more than.
We can't take any more than that. That's to protect them from us saying we're taking 100.
So that's one whole classroom for grade 4.
So we could end up availability.
I'm sorry.
That's also depending on availability and class size
right.
for us.
Didn't the high school do this as well?
Yes.
And that is so funny because they won't release, she won't release one single person.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we have different philosophies, right? I mean, we had somebody come in today that lives in Wheatland, lives on base actually, and they came in for an inter-district transfer to go to Marysville. And they came in, I signed it, and they said, there you go. They said, that's all we have to do. I said, yes. If you don't want to go here, I don't want you to go here, right? I don't know why Marysville wants to keep people that don't want to be there.
Marysville
but
wants to keep people that don't want to be there because so many of their students go to this district. They lose so much money, they can't improve their schools.
Yeah, well, they have a heck of a lot more money than we do.
And their school's just as good as ours.
And just to answer that question is, I've told them, get your ducks in a row and then you won't lose your kids, right? Sure, and so it's a matter of us, are we willing to give up the funding? Really, the only impact to us right now is TKK, or the occasional kid that moves in that's a higher grade, right? Because once we have them, we get to keep them. So.
Do we have room for the students that we're bringing in? I know some parents concerned with the district of choices. Not mine, I don't use the after school care, but not first come, first serve. They do the lower income kids first, and some of the parents were concerned that bringing kids from Oliverhurst and Marysville, not Kennedy, but bringing them, they might fall into the lower income or Wheatland kids, and the kids can't get into their own after school programs and things like that.
We have not had that issue, but I can understand why that might be a concern for somebody, because the state does require that you take low income foster care first before you open it up to everybody.
So it doesn't matter though if we're a district of choice and at eighth grade they don't get to continue because they're a different district at the high school.
Correct.
So once we have them, we keep them anyway.
It's getting them. See, that's the thing is what I'm saying is that it's all the kids that we have now, that's not a problem. But if we want to continue to accept kids from other districts, which we do, for reasons that were just talked about, Marysville wants them back because they want the money. Well, we don't want to give them back because we need the money to make our programs. And Everybody will tell you that our middle school is the most popular middle school in Yuba and Sutter County. And if we stop letting kids come over, it will no longer be that way because we will not be able to run the programs that we have because we won't have enough students. And so there's that threshold of number of students to be able to do the offerings of electives and all of that. So this is an opportunity. And again, the state's actually supposed to do away with district of choice this year. So we'll see if they do that. But this is an opportunity to get our ducks in a row that if Marysville does say, well, you can't have any kids, that we can say, well, we can have 25 of them at this grade level.
And then you're saying that if they have all these issues, we can...
If they have the issues, once they get on.
Correct.
But an eventual.
Correct.
But what if, and I don't mean this the way, but financially, couldn't that come to bite us too if we take on a child that needs services?
Sure.
I mean,
we could, but it can happen to us now, right? On inter-district transfers, you get a kid in kindergarten, you don't know that you may not know at that point that they're special education. By the time they hit third grade, but you know, they've got full-on services needed. And we can't just then say, well, you're out because you cost too much, right? You know that. So
I know.
It is a matter of being able to, right now we're able to ask for their discipline record, their grades and all that before we take them. With district of choice, you're not allowed to ask for those things for those 25 kids that you're taking that way. If it's an inter-district transfer from Plumas Lake, we're still gonna ask that question, right? It's just the 25 kids at district of choice that you can't. So
I have a question. What is our facilities growth plan with all of the new houses coming in? What is our growth plan for our current and expected population, and how are we going to manage that along with these up to 250 district of, or school of choice students plus the inter-district students that we currently have?
Right. So right now, the impact of that housing is not going to make a significant effect on our district. And we would have to take our children first before we take inter-districts or district of choice kids. So our kids all have a right to go to school here. And even to the point where I've seen in some districts that, hey, there's 24 kids in this classroom, we have one teacher, number 25 moved across the street, the last inter-district transfer that came in, you are now out and you have to go back to your old district. So there's the potential to do those types of things as well. The issue for us is that if we start losing, I think we're close to 50% of our kids are inter-district transfers.
I think you've told me 40%.
Yeah. So if we start losing those children, then we start losing our programs, we start losing all the things that need to happen. So that's where we're at. It's the resolution is saying that we can do it. If you don't want to do it, then that's up to you.
Well, I'll take a motion on choice resolution 5.14. Do I have a motion?
Okay, so it dies with lack of motion.
Dives with lack of motion. 5.15, expanded learning opportunity program plan.
All right, so 5.15 is a new state program called ELOP, and it is combined with our after-school program, and those two they have to run simultaneously. The issue with ELOP, and what this is the plan has to be accepted by the board in October to receive the funding. ELOP requires, it's part of the universal pre-K in that we have to provide services for students of low income, et cetera, for up to 9 hours a day, right? So it really affects districts that have a half-day TK program. They have to provide daycare or after school, however you want to call it, for up to the amount of hours to make it 9. For us, because we have a full day, our ELOP will run simultaneously with our after-school, so it's an additional funding to do that. The biggest caveat in ELOP is that you have to provide services for up to 30 days of non-student attendance days. So we have 15 in our summer camp. We need to work on what other 15 days we would be able to provide those services. So it's a funding stream to help with the after-school program. It's you really will not see a significant change in our after-school program. One of the biggest problems we have, I think we could actually add kids with the ELOP. The after-school program limits the number of kids by school site. ELOP would add to that. The problem we have is we can't find staff. Yeah. I mean, right now, the reason Tara's not here to explain the whole thing is because she has to run after school. We cannot find staff to come in and work.
Now, on this, would we be at risk of losing the after-school program due to not having staff by providing staff for the ELOP?
No, they can run, they run parallel.
Okay.
So the staff can be doing both. I mean, you're not, a parent or anybody who walks in, they're not going to go, oh, that's an ELAP kid and that's an AS.
Well, right? what I'm saying is, if we only have staff to supervise 145 kids and ELAP funding covers 145, does that mean we cannot run an after-school program?
No, and they're totally different funding streams. And it's the state at its finest, right? They're creating a program where a program already exists,
right.
Just like UPK is a program already existed. And it's a matter of us trying to take these programs and do the best we can for our kids and bring the funding to the district to be able to do that.
Is there any ideas?
No, we've talked about that beginning of the year. We've tried offering it over Christmas before. We can also, because we have ESY, we can count those days.
Right.
So we can get to the 30. It's not a big deal. It's just a matter of where to put them that best benefits parents. Like that 5 days.
Yeah.
Right now our calendar doesn't match with the high school. Maybe we have something during that period of time. It doesn't mean that kids have to use it. We have to offer it.
Right.
Any other questions? Do I have a motion on 5.15?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? So carried. 5.16, Middle School Ag Career Technical Education Incentive Grant Application.
So the middle school is going to apply for another grant, which is towards CTE. And for them to apply for it, it has to come to the board for approval prior to the application. So that's what this is.
Any questions? Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? So carried. Open to board comments?
If possible. So we redirected and allowed the public to comment after we had gone over the site safety plan. So if it's okay with the board, does anyone from the public have any questions with the site safety plans? Is that okay? Can I ask?
They can ask questions.
Does anyone? Okay. Just wanted to throw that out there because it was highly talked about with me. So I wanted to make sure that. I knew you were going to.
I know that someone I know in the Yuba County Sheriff's Department has been in talks with Wheatland PD, but I would really like to kind of get some more information from that and see if they're going forward with anything. I know Yuba County Sheriff's Department has a very, very thorough active shooter situation. Talking aerial views, they know all of this stuff because if something was to happen here, I mean, Wheatland PD would be first, obviously, but Yuba County Sheriff's Department would also come. We don't have enough PD here to cover that.
Yeah.
So I was curious if like that can be kind of pushed forward. I don't know how that all works, but I think it'd be important for them to have that information. So when they're coming here, they're prepared. They have all the information on the computer. They know who to contact. They know everything, and they're in the loop also.
So in the past, we've typically given our safety plans to the Yuba County Sheriff's Department. Our first call is to Wheatland PD. Chief is here, you can speak to it. I know he's been in conversations with the Sheriff's Department. My understanding was there was questions about why the Sheriff's Department isn't brought in for our trainings and our plans, and that's because we have Wheatland PD and we have security forces out on base. So any interactions that we have, we would go to our police department first, and then they would direct us to, and I'll let you speak, but they would direct us to, this is what you're going to do in these particular situations.
Okay. Well, my worry with that is that it's not as thorough as it could be. I mean, Yuba County Sheriff's Department comes in and trains everyone, like all the teachers, all the staff.
Yeah, we've
had, we don't have that right now.
Multiple trainings with our staff. All of the administrators have gone through ALICE training, which is active shooter training, and we've had multiple trainings with all of our staff. We're not saying we're not going to bring in Yuba County Sheriff if they wanted to come over here, but I'm not going to step on the feet of Wheatland PD either.
Okay.
But I did, Nicole Newman and myself met with the chief earlier this year, and he talked about the fact that at any given time, he may only have two officers on.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had an active shooter, they would instantly bring Yuba County Sheriff, Western Placer, wherever they're going to come from. Also, Wheatland obviously doesn't have a SWAT team, and so Yuba County Sheriff does. They would bring those, and I hope I'm not stepping on anything, but that's my understanding is that he would reach out to them, they would come in, and once the SWAT came, they take over. But
okay.
Until then, Wheatland PD is in charge. Can I guess that right?
Yes, I can address the audience.
Okay, perfect.
Please.
A few minutes if you want.
Absolutely. You don't have to go to the mic, we can hear you.
Okay, those of you who don't know me, I'm Chief Keeney, so that's where I've been here a little over 3 years. And just brief that, 32 years of law enforcement experience, 29 years in the Bay Area before I came up here, retired from Benicia. I'm a SWAT commander for Benicia, or we had one guy agency, a SWAT team with a small that's still a little team. So I've been to many, many, many call outs, and I've commanded many, many call outs. So, long story short, active shooter situation. Immediately 911, something comes up, you get on a radio, you tell dispatch, send everybody you can. And what I'm going to tell you right now is what every law enforcement agency does. We all do the exact same thing. I would have probably 50 to 100 cops here within 5 to 10 minutes assisting them. And active shooter, our job is to go identify that threat and immediately eliminate it. Situation could change if you become a barricaded suspect, right? If you have something barricaded in a certain area, now the dynamics change, and that takes special teams in here like SWAT to deal with that. But we all train, we train at the range for active shooter situations. We train orderly, we train how we move as a team through dynamics like that always, in those kinds of situations. So we are trained. I'm also in coordination with Sheriff Anderson. Sergeant Ellis met with one of their special or their trained person that does some of their training at the school. We got all their plans. We are going to implement something similar to what they're doing for all of our schools here. So we have kind of like the raw on the same page, especially in the but we do take it very seriously. Something we talk about all the time at work. We always scenario-based say, and if something happens today, what do? I got an SRO at high school. He's there every day. So he's constantly communicating with us what's going on there, communicating with staff and the principal and the superintendent. There's a lot of communication, a lot of collaboration going on, even though you may not see it. But we are I don't have somebody who has the expertise to go into the schools and train teachers and staff what they should be doing. I don't have that person. And it would be unfair for me to send somebody who isn't trained into our schools to try to teach staff and students what they should do. And we met before the school year started. I met with Craig and Nicole, and we discussed what our roles and responsibilities are. I heard from them what theirs are, so I think
a mutual agreement with Ute County, do you have some sort of, like just the layout of the school, you know, something, some sort of information that, or a plan that you guys already have set that is being, that is being transparent enough for Ute County to be aware of? Or do they know the layout of your school or your plans for these active shooter situations?
So all of our plans are the same. Unfortunately, a situation like that is not black and white, but if we have an active shooter, what we do.
Right.
It's kind of like a dynamic thing. But we all in law enforcement, we're trained from the day we go through the academy and range training. All of our range masters go to the exact same school. They're taught the exact same thing. And they bring that back to the department. When you talk about layout, we do not have currently layout right now at all schools. That's what we started Monday, working with Ute County. We got how they have set theirs up. So we are implementing that here, and we will be sharing that with Minion, PD, because they're close to one CHP, USSO, Utah City PD, Sutter SO, and American.
And in our catapult system, so we have a universal catapult system. What was it to me? I always think it was bad. What is it?
Anyway,
he came out with the aerial photos.
John.
Yes, thank you. I always do. He came out and did aerial photos of all the schools, and we have areas marked on that, and then there's the generic layout, which is like a blueprint of the school, but that's in that catapult system. So once we get, if we're in an emergency situation, that all gets shipped out to them. Right now, they don't get notified every time we do a drill because we're in drill mode when we do that, just so that we don't have everybody sending upon us when we do the practices and we do the drills. But if it ever went live, those agencies that are packed in that catapult system that we built would all have access to that information. And it also shows where our reunification areas are. It shows, you know, what students are missing, what students are accounted for, what rooms are accounted for. Everything is kind of digital, and we practice with that. So the staff gets that, and when we go to a drill, we run it through that catapult system. One, to make sure that our student lists are uploading in it so they have access to their kids, and we can figure out who's where and what, and that everything's working. So we have those drills going on all the time. So there is the ability that if something ever went down, they would have access to all those funds.
And I know there was a question about turnover at Wheatland PD, so again, the communication between us and the PD is great. They're right here. But all of the new offices are in the catapult system. And also, we, at least myself, I don't know about the administrators, I am on the catapult system for Marysville too. So if they have a lockdown at Lyndhurst High School, I get notified because it's not that far away. So the system is built well. And at one point, it was about just pre-COVID, it gave binders with all of our plans and all of our blueprints and all of that to the Sheriff's Department. And that was kind of an ongoing thing. In fact, they were the ones that made us change the colors in the windows, you know, for clear or not, because they're like, well, Marysville has these colors and Plymouth Lake has, can we just have one color that matches? So we have worked with them in the past, and I'm sure that
if they're willing, if the Sheriff's Department is willing to come in and train all of the staff, which they said they don't have enough to do that.
Right.
The Sheriff's Department does. And then if the staff gets that, like, training, like, actually at the school, and they can point out, like, super easy spots that people can get in, just stuff to pay attention to, but actually get that physical training.
And we're not opposed to that. The only thing I would add is that I would want Wheatland PD at that training so that we're all on the same page.
Yes.
Right? That would be my only ask, is that we did it at a time in which, you know, we do trainings, but it's a different perspective from a teacher trying to protect their children in an active shooter environment and what they need to do in the classroom versus what the chief needs to do to get that active shooter out. Right there, it's totally different.
And
so,
the base did do those drills.
Oh yeah.
To cut you off there, the base actually took us out and took all of the teachers that participated and put us kind of in a real life scenario where they were shooting. So there was gunfire. They did lay some of the staff out with blood, so they looked dead. So then you had to
it actually
happy emotions. You know, there's people pounding on the doors and they
freaked out some of our staff.
We haven't done that since
because they were locked in the building.
COVID, but just know that there have been those situations where we have put staff through things like that to try to get them in the frame of mind of what that would be like. So that's a whole different ballgame.
But Danielle, there's never enough training, so we would be happy to, if, you know, put them in charge, put them in contact with me and the chief, and then we'll go from there.
Thank you.
Chief, thank you. I really appreciate hearing the collaboration between you guys and UB County and expanding that even further than I was expecting. You know, because
I appreciate you all. Rob invited me to come here tonight. But anytime you guys need me,
can I make a quick comment just because you brought it up at the beginning with the power outage on base? So I just wanted to address that. We'll, it's currently scheduled for the 2nd of November, so that's the date. And just so you understand the purpose behind it, this isn't the base just saying, hey, we're going to shut off the power. We have a major national defense radar system that's out there on the base, and we have some electrical upgrades that we have to do. So we have to bring power down on the whole base to complete those upgrades. We're working actively to try to minimize the amount of time and impact that we'll have, particularly on housing and the elementary school there. But it will impact the entire base. So we're also using this as an opportunity where we're gonna exercise what happens for everything, every function on this, if we go down on that. So we are paying a lot of attention to that, so please keep communicating with your concerns. Particularly through Annette and my deputy, Lieutenant Colonel Iderola, who's really helping to put all those pieces together. So if you have any questions, please let me know. But there is purpose behind the madness, and it's not just right? Thank you.
We understand the purpose. It's just an issue of what are we going to do with kids.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
the issue. We understand. It's one of many challenges
absolutely
we have to overcome. But because
plus
of the importance of that asset, we need to make it happen.
All day field trip somewhere.
Yeah. November 2nd.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll volunteer, Tim. He'll drive.
Did anybody have any other questions on that or concerns?
We'll figure it out.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.